This is the Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. Here's your host, Everett Jolly.
Before we get started with the show today, I'd like to thank one of our new sponsors, the OTCExchange.com. It's the first aggregated news service site. It provides you with all the info you need to make informed decisions on penny stocks. That's the OTCExchange.com. On today's show, I am bringing you a brand new guest, and I'll tell you what, I'm super excited to have this gentleman on my show. It's been months and months that we've been reaching out, trying to get him on the show. Well, they're here, and I'm talking about no other than BTCS, Inc. You can find him on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol BTCS. And with us today, I'm super excited to have this gentleman on the show. He's the chairman, CFO, and CEO of the company, Mr. Charles Allen. Charles, welcome to the show.
Great. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Before we get started with the Q&A, please give my listeners just a little bit of a backstory of who you are and what the company does.
Sure. So, I actually started my career in investment banking after getting my MBA, and we took BTCS public in 2014. So we were the first U.S. public company focused on blockchain technologies and digital assets, digital currencies. And, right now we're probably, we're the first U.S. public company that's focused on securing proof-of-stake blockchains such as Ethereum's Beacon Chain. We're looking to stake Cardano and a few other really disruptive blockchains as well. So our company's goal is really to secure the infrastructure behind disruptive blockchains that we believe Web 3.0 is going to be built on top of.
You know, there's been a lot of talk and hype around blockchain and cryptocurrencies in particular. What are your thoughts on the real world use cases for this technology? Where do you see this going?
No, I appreciate that. And it's really interesting. I mean, I think, you know, there's so much focus on Bitcoin and blockchain specifically. That's kind of where most people focus. And, you know, I look at Bitcoin as a great store of value in the face of monetary debasement with all the bailouts associated with, you know, COVID-19 and just what's going on in the world. But I look at Bitcoin and specifically Bitcoin's blockchain, the ledger that secures, you know, the record of who owns what, and you can't really do a tremendous amount with it beyond being a store of assets similar to gold. And so, you know, when I think about where we're going, I really think blockchain technologies can be the backbone of Web 3.0. And what I mean by that is, you know, solutions where you can have peer-to-peer transactions and you can move digital assets globally without a trusted third party, or even have that done, you know, automatically through, you know, the Internet of Things. To me, that's extremely powerful, right? The Internet brought around the digitization of information, and blockchains are bringing around the digitization of assets and their global movement. So, I think there's a lot of hype around Bitcoin and blockchain kind of circling back, but I think what's most interesting is the blockchains and underlying tokens that'll allow for Web 3.0, right? And specifically, you know, Ethereum and Polkadot and Cardano. And those things I don't think are talked about as much in mainstream media.
You know, as I was doing my research before you came on the show last week, I was looking over and I noticed that you guys had kind of started pivoting, if you will, BTCS into securing Ether and proof of stake blockchain and tend to secure other disruptive POS blockchains. Can you elaborate a little bit on that? I see you guys are kind of like moving more towards the verifying, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. I think the big difference is the security system that Bitcoin's blockchain is based on is called proof of work. So you have to just buy expensive computers, right? They're called miners, Bitcoin miners,
right?
And
right,
use a lot of electricity to secure this basically general ledger of who owns what. And I think it's a bit overblown in terms of how people look at how much energy is being used, right? Because we as a society, we waste a tremendous amount of electricity on other things that we don't need to. So I think it's overblown from that perspective. But I also look at it from the perspective of, well, what if there's a better system that we can utilize that doesn't use the electricity? And that's proof of stake network. So Ethereum is built on that proof of, on a proof of stake network. Cardano is built on a proof of stake network. And it gets relatively technical to describe the nuanced difference of how they work. But if you have one system that uses a tremendous amount of electricity to gain its security, and another system that you don't need to use that same amount of electricity, and you can still have the same security, like why choose the one that's more wasteful? So from a an ESG standpoint, and just from a society standpoint, we think proof of stake blockchains have a very strong place in the market. And they're, for the most part, the big ones, the Cardanos and the Polkadots and the, Ethereum, they're a much smaller, market cap than Bitcoin. So you've got tokens that have the same security, or blockchains with the same security, broader applications, right? I think that's very important. You can't really build anything on top of Bitcoin's blockchain, but there's a lot that can be built on top of these other disruptive smart contract-based blockchains. So, that's kind of where our focus is to secure disruptive blockchains, generate revenue by doing that. And, we think that'll be a, highly scalable business model that really not that many other people are focused on. I mean, Coinbase is doing it, so maybe, they're the only other public company, U.S. public company that's doing it, and there's a few up in Canada. But I think it's going to be a very big market going forward. So that's something that we pivoted to in the beginning of the year and are extremely excited about.
I want to change gears here just for a second and talk about your market cap. I think your market cap's around 42 million, but you just recently released a press release saying that you guys have 41.7 million in digital assets and 4 million of that being in cash. Your thoughts going forward, how you guys are going to use that money and how you're going to build revenues? Because I just saw that you guys put out a press release and your revenues increased tremendously a lot compared to last quarter. Where do you see yourself in the next two or three quarters?
We're not going to put out specific guidance. We've kind of come out and said we think we'll do, conservatively over 1 million in revenue for, fiscal year 2021. It's a very high margin business, staking. We did, not a lot, 72,000 for Q1, but that was, we only started the operations in this at the
like
end
six
of,
weeks.
We started it was about 5 weeks for okay. Q1. We started February 22nd, and that was just, we kind of scaled in, so we didn't have full operations. For the first 6 weeks of Q2, we've done 192,000. And that's kind of everything, up and running. And we still have 4 million in cash that we, on the balance sheet and, 90 Bitcoin, which is, it was worth a little over 5 million. Now it's probably worth about 4. So, just shy of 10 million in cash in crypto that isn't staked on Ethereum's blockchain to put to work. So, we think, this should be a really good year in terms of growth. Both on the revenue side and also, on EBITDA, right? I mean, this in the first quarter, we had 2.4 million in EBITDA, adjusted EBITDA, primarily driven by, realized gains in cryptocurrency, right? And the one of the crazy things is we actually hold the value of the digital assets we hold is at the lowest price it's ever been since purchase or acquisition. So if you look at our queue, we had 12.3 million in crypto on the balance sheet, but as of May 11th, that crypto was worth about 37 million, and we never get to mark it up under U.S. GAAP. Obviously, the value of that's come down a bit, but it's still, substantially more than what we'll show on the balance sheet. So, yeah, and when we have, assets, as of, a little over a week ago, in excess of our market cap, it's a bit ridiculous.
I was looking at your balance sheet and I was looking at your stock price. I think within your 52-week high has been over $3 a share. That being said, do you guys intend to uplist to a major exchange in the near future?
Yeah, no, it's great timing. We actually applied for a NASDAQ listing last week. At the same time, we at the same time we filed our 10Q. We've received comments from the NASDAQ, are responding most likely today. So, you know, I'm very optimistic that we'll be able to, you know, uplist the company. And I think that's, you know, that'd just be huge, right? As a as an OTC listed company, investors on, you know, at certain that use certain brokerage firms can't purchase our stock. For instance, you know, Robinhood does not allow access to
right.
OTC listed
right.
companies. Webull doesn't allow access to OTC listed companies. That, you know, their kind of user base is like the perfect demographic for a company like ours, as well as, you know, institutions. I've talked to so many institutions, and for the most part, they're very restricted in their ability to buy a, you know, a penny stock, right? If we're able to get to the NASDAQ, it's, you know, even if you're small, obviously the larger institutions may have an issue with market cap sizing if you're under $1 billion, but it, the universe drastically increases into, you know, who can access our securities, which I think, you know, hopefully will translate into creating, you know, shareholder value.
Our guest today is Charles Allen. He's the CEO and chairman of BTCS Inc. They trade on the OTCQB markets. Look them up. Their ticker symbol is BTCS. Charles, before I let you go, you got the last word. What is it that you want my listeners, your stockholders, to take away from today's interview?
Look, we're just extremely excited about the company. The company's never been in better financial position, had a better, you know, business strategy going forward. You know, we recently added Charlie Lee, the creator of Litecoin, to the board of directors. We added Carol Van Cleef. So, you know, the company's doing great. You know, it's unfortunate the stock's come down a little bit, but, you know, we don't control the stock. We control the company, and the company is doing, you know, the best it's ever been in 7 years. So I'm super excited for the future, and we hope that over time, you know, the market will realize what we're onto.
Well, I want to appreciate you coming on the show. Hopefully you'll become a regular, come back every 50 days and give us an update.
All right. Thanks again for having me.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by La Jolla Media LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are for educational and research purposes. Stock Day encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional.